of Jesus Christ, history has been changed forever. Can I get an amen? My name is Pastor Matt Stewart. If this is your first time to be with us, and we are so thankful that you are here, I have the privilege, awesome privilege, of pastoring Harvest Assembly. I want to thank you for your giving. But because we are in the subject of history or his story, I'd like to do something. I don't know if you ever guys have ever done this day in history. Okay, so I did a typo or something, and I spent my week looking at things on May 8th, and I hadn't even caught that. And I turned to get Michelle and everything, she made me a slide and the whole thing, and I hadn't even caught that I'd done that. So anyway, I had to get rid of that slide, but I want to give you March 27th. By the way, there were incredible things that went all the way back to BC, and there was one in the 1300s where there was a famous battle between the Knights of England and the Knights of another country, and there was 30. It was 30 versus 30, and it was some crazy battle that they did back in the 1300s. But on March 27th, 1841, here in the U.S., the first steam engine was tested in New York City. March 27th in 1879, the longest championship fight took place. Anybody want to take a guess at how many rounds? How about this one? 136 rounds. I would have loved to have seen their faces after that fight. That was unbelievable. March 27th, 1884, the first long-distance telephone call was made from Boston to New York. In March 27th, and I think we just celebrated this day, the day with the cherry blossoms up in D.C., but 1912, March 27th, the first cherry blossom was planted. March 27th, 1973, The Godfather won Oscar for Best Picture, okay? In March 27th, in that same year, the Trans-Alaskan Pipeline began, and believe it or not, in 2 years later, it was completed. Today, I want to talk, though, about something that I believe has everything to do with his story, with the story of Jesus Christ, and that is walking even closer. That is the title of today's message, is walking even closer. I want to use the scripture that comes out of Luke chapter 24. And I know I'm fast forwarding. This is post dying on the cross and being resurrected. But I want to just talk about one particular scripture, and it's Luke 24, verse 14, and it says this: speaking of the disciples, as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened, and as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. Now, guys, Lori and I love taking walks. In fact, when we moved out here in 2007 from California, we live in an area, a neighborhood called Etheridge Manor, and there's quite a few places that you can walk. Well, we've discovered one that if we want to do a half-mile walk, we can do that. If we want to do that twice, it makes it a mile. But then there's another walk that we can take that takes about 2 miles to do. We like being out. We like taking in the sights and the sounds. And the whole thing is that there's these conversations or these stories. And sometimes there's not much to say, but we just love being out there and being transparent. It's about really who I'm walking with. I love doing this with Lori. I can't tell you how many times that we have taken these walks and how every walk has seemed to be different. Lori is amazing. But I can tell you that how many times that we just needed to go because we needed to spend some time with God. And I'm just being honest with you. There were times that we just needed Jesus to walk us through some pretty intense chapters of our lives. The idea of walking even closer with Jesus can sometimes feel overwhelming, or it can feel daunting, because when I say that, when I encourage you to walk even closer, well, sometimes there's these thoughts that come in our hearts like, oh, I need to clean up this part in my life. I need to clean up my act. I can't hang out with certain people, or we're beginning to think of things that need to change. And for some, to this day, walking faithfully with God, it continues to be a struggle. But this is what I know to be true. The times that I'm not walking faithfully with God, I often lack the qualities that come with being close to him. What do I mean by that? Pastor Matt, what are you saying? Well, how about this one right here? When we're not walking close to God, we lack his spiritual power. Let me give you some scriptures. In Ephesians 6:10, finally, Jesus looked at the Lord and in the strength of his might. In Matthew 19, 26, but Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And then 2 Timothy 1:7, for God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. In the Aramaic, it can be translated as revelation light or instruction. Another thing that we might lack from the qualities of God when we don't draw near to him is this: we would lack boldness. In some translations, it speaks of being confident or being without fear or having great courage. Acts 4:13 says it this way: now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You know, Pastor Brad, if you didn't catch his message last week, he talked about living with purpose. And he talked about how when we do this, it's walking in full obedience to God's will. It's actually where we find our identity, how people know that we are followers of him. Matt Donahue got up here and spoke an amazing message on Wednesday. And one of the points was he was talking about the goal of discipleship, that we would be with Jesus so much that we would draw even closer to him, that people would just even recognize us. We didn't even have to say a word. They just recognize that we've been in the presence of God. He said it this way: oh, you've been with Jesus. I can tell by the way you're walking, the things that are coming out of your mouth, you've been with the Lord. In the message, that same scripture of Acts 4:13, look at it the way it says it this way: they couldn't take their eyes off them. Their fascination deepened, and they recognized them as companions of Christ. This is the goal of walking even closer, that we would never be in question of who we are walking with or who we have been with. Another quality that you might not function at the highest if you get away from John 4:8 for any amount of time is the quality of love. 1 John 4:8 says, the person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is what? So you can't know him if you don't love. Let me make sure I say this. Love is not God. There was a Christian song years ago that got very popular about love is God. No, God is love. Can I get an amen? God is love. If we are not walking close to him, then the quality of love or our ability to love will suffer. Walking even closer. When we are watching our world become more and more chaotic, the temptation is to withdraw from people, to withdraw from conversations, or even from our faith. We might hold on to our dreams and goals and wonder if it's worth pursuing them anymore, and those feelings are real and they matter to Jesus. Rather than walk away from him, we're asked to walk even closer. This is what Scripture's calling us to do. Philippians 2:6-8, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Can we say amen to that? This is Jesus. So let me read the scripture to you one more time, and we're going to get into today's thoughts. Luke 24:14. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. So three ways of walking even closer with Christ. And the first thought is this: be honest about your walk. Be honest about your faith walk. Billy Joel, how many of you enjoy his music? Billy Joel has written some amazing songs. And in one of his songs, he wrote this song called Honesty. And in the chorus, this is what it's untrue. Honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue. Honesty is hardly ever heard, and mostly what I need from you. Us wanting people or someone to be honest with us is huge in a relationship. Does everybody agree with me on that? And there's nothing more important than us being honest with ourselves. In Romans 12:3, it says it this way: because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. What does it say? Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by faith God has given us. In the Passion Translation, it actually says it this way: honestly assess your worth by using your God-given faith as a standard of measurement. Walking even closer. Walking even closer with Jesus means we daily give up our desire to navigate our own lives and completely give our future journeys to Him. Walking even closer sometimes requires us to be honest about what is wrong. It's actually us being honest about what is hurting or even injured in our lives. I've got plantar fasciitis in my right foot right now. Back in 2004, I was introduced to this. I had never knew what it was. I had jumped off of a jungle gym that we were building for our kids at our church in California, and it was about an 8 or 9 foot drop, and when I hit the ground, I just felt my left foot, I felt like a little cord. Somebody had plucked a guitar string on my foot, and it just got worse every day. It never got better. I would do things. I would try to ice it. I would do all these things, and finally, I had to go to a doctor. Now, since 2004, I've come out of it, or I would go to this foot or whatever. Well, now it's in my right foot. It's actually in my right heel. And guys, I finally went to the doctor. The doctor sits me down. He's talking through some of the things that I've been doing. And I've had it for years, so I know certain tricks you can try. This, like, sometimes you just need that shot. And so I sat there and I stuck my foot out for him. And he pulls out this like 3-inch needle syringe. And guys, honestly, I get really fascinated with shots. So I'm thinking like, okay, I'm going to, you know, really watch this. And he puts it into my foot. And I'm just watching this needle slowly but surely disappear into my foot. And I'm going, there's no way that he's going to be able to go. And sure enough, this it touches all the way to my skin. You know, all the way in, 3 inches of a needle into my foot. And while he's sitting there and he's injecting this stuff that is, you know, my blood pressure's, you know, I'm just trying to enjoy what's going on or whatever, but I'm not enjoying it. But he's talking to me about things that he really wants me to consider doing, things that he needs me to consider trying. And here's the whole thing. It's painful, and if I try to ignore it, the only thing that it's going to do if I don't address the injury is that it's going to get worse. Is everybody with me what I'm saying? So I have to get to the place where I am trusting the leading of my doctor. And Jesus wants our honesty. He wants your transparency. He wants your trust. It's us admitting He knows what's best for us and realizing that He might not always reveal how it's going to happen or why sometimes it's taking a little longer than we would want it to. It's okay. It's us being okay with the journey. It's you being honest about yourself. Just being honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you right now, very transparent. I want to live that Enoch life. When you look at the scripture with me, you guys, in Genesis 5:24, that Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. I just want to do my best to walk it out. I want to walk out the rest of my days with Jesus, that when I take my last breath, then I will be with Him. I've walked my life out with Him. I would say, the one who walked all along with me, He'll be there waiting for me. I would say this to you, church, be honest with yourself. How is your walk doing? How is your faith holding up? Remember, I'm not just trying to encourage you to walk with God. I'm trying to encourage you to walk even closer with Him. Amen? Second thought on walking even closer with Jesus, it might be time for a new walking partner. Lori, I don't need a new walking partner. That's what I'm trying to say. Sometimes to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, guys, listen to this and receive this. To really walk life out with Christ is to walk away from others or let them walk away from us. It could be time for a new walking partner. We might just need someone else to walk through this life with us. They're not life-giving. Guys, if you have people in your life that all that comes out of their mouth is sarcasm, if you have somebody in your life that it seems to exude from their pores negativity, you might need a new walking partner. They are not encouraging, they're not helping, they're not mentoring, they're not dreaming with you, and they're not supporting you. Albert Camus says it this way: don't walk behind me, I may not lead. Don't walk in front of me, I may not follow. Just walk beside me and be my friend. Guys, that's an incredible thought. Not only will God put right people in your lives to walk with us, but most importantly, He, Jesus, His Spirit will always be there. Guys, let me break down this scripture right here for you. In Psalms 31, 14, 15, it says, "But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand." Guys, a few weeks ago, we talked about this subject in the Hebrew of my times. And in the Hebrew, that word is eighth. Everybody say eighth. It's just like eighth place, eighth. And what that means is it talks about a time. It's another translation where it says, "But I trust you, O Lord, I say you are my God. My times are in your hand." Other translations, it says, "The chances of my life, my future, the course of my life is in your power. That hour by hour, my whole life is in your hands." In fact, in one translation, it says, "My lots are in your hands." Guys, how many times do we ever use "my lots are in your hands"? But guys, think about what that's saying. If you look at the definition of lot in life is one's way of life or worldly fate. It usually speaks to someone's general situation of life, especially when it's not very good. When you hear somebody say, "Well, it must just be my lot in life." What they're talking about, it's not good. And maybe this is just how life is supposed to be. I think for a lot of believers, we think that now that I've given my life to Jesus, things are going to be so much easier. In Psalms 23:4 reminds us, he says this, that even though I walk through the darkest valley. Church, without raising your hands, just reflect for a second of a dark valley that Jesus had to walk you through. I've shared, I've been very transparent with you. For 3 years, I was stuck in a dark valley. But Jesus never left me, and I knew He was always with me. I might have to walk through the darkest valley, and there's nothing comfortable about that. It is the hardest moments of life where every step seems to be more painful than the next. But let's look and continue how the scripture goes. Psalms 23:4, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Life may hurt sometimes, but God is always good. Can I get an amen? People might come and go, but God is always going to be there. Lori and I have been married for 33 years, and walking is just a part of who we are. And one day when we're sitting here, not going hairs, looking at each other, counting the hairs on each other's face. I don't know what we're going to be doing. We are not going to be celebrating the number of miles that we have walked. We're going to be celebrating who walked all those miles with us. It's Jesus. We will reflect on who was always with us. And I want to make sure that I say this to all of you. Yes, Jesus wants you to be even closer to Him, but He will also put people in your life that are good for you. I just really believe that. And we have to start recognizing who we allow into our circles. Let's look at the scripture one more time. You know, in Luke chapter 24, 14, the story is the disciples are walking. They don't recognize Jesus. Jesus is not allowing them to understand who's with them. And so they go and they meet. He finally reveals himself to them. And then it's time for him to go to continue what he's doing. And when he walked out, this is what they said. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road?" It's like they just knew somebody good was walking that time with them. This was the darkest time in the disciples' lives. They just watched their Messiah die on the cross. They watched him put him into a tomb. He was gone, and Jesus comes suddenly and is walking with them. I love that in Luke 24, 14, we see three things. They were there for each other in the darkest of valleys. That suddenly, God's timing is perfect. Can we get an amen about that? And that Jesus himself began walking it out with them. It might be time for a new walking partner. Third thought of drawing even closer with Jesus. Walk it out with God so you can walk it out with others. Walk it out with God so that you're going to be available to walk with others. 1 Timothy 4:16, this is the Living Bible, it says this: keep a close watch on all you do and think. Stay true to what is right, and God will bless you and use you to help others. For ourselves. Our relationship with Jesus was never meant to be just for ourselves. Our walk with Christ is to inspire and to share that life with others. Even when we are doing our best to do something right, we might still find ourselves in some crazy situations. Guys, listen, I'm saying you have done everything. You're doing everything that you possibly can do to draw even closer to the Lord, and you still might find yourself in some crazy situations. Sky and I were coming across from Fresno, California, driving her out here. And we had just spoke at Pastor Ray's church, and we were making our way into New Mexico, and finally it was time to eat dinner. We were in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and so I couldn't really find anything to eat, so I took her to McDonald's. We walked in to use the restroom and get her some food. She sits down after she orders. I said, babe, I'm going to the restroom. So guys, I walk into this restroom, and I'm standing there with my phone. I'm literally got my phone, and I'm looking at texts, I'm looking at Brad emails, I'm trying to catch up with everything because we've been driving, and I don't text when I drive. Come on, guys. So anyway, I'm trying to catch up with my text, and then all of a sudden I literally have been in there for 5 minutes, and I go, oh man, Matt, go to the restroom. And so I put my phone down, and I go, and I'm like, wait, where's the urinals? And I realize I'm in the ladies' room. So Sky posts this picture right here on Instagram. Guys, there could have been a girl sitting in the very back. I don't know. But listen, it was a crazy situation. But listen, I was offered an easy out because I got out without being caught in there. Guys, if somebody would have walked in there with me with my phone out, I'm the creepy guy in there filming the girl's bathroom. It was never my intention to be in that lady's restroom, but I found myself in a crazy situation. Guys, I would say this to you. Sometimes we get that easy escape, and other times decisions, we find ourselves in a place where maybe we didn't make the right decision and we don't get the easy out. I would say this to you. Keep striving to walk closer to Jesus. It isn't just what we say. We can't just say that we walk with Jesus. It's how we live. It's how we daily walk that will help others and show them who God is. Colossians 2:6 says this: therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, what does it say? Walk with him. Guys, there's a Greek word for this word right here in Colossians 2:6. The walk in him is peripateo. Peripateo. Party potato. Party potato chips. However you want to say it. It's party potato. Okay? And that is walk in him. It is to walk. It is to regulate your life. It is to follow as a companion. To grab a hold of the opportunities. If you can picture this. That if you walk your life even closer to Jesus. As you're walking with him. He's going to give you opportunities that you can just reach out and grab. Just by being even closer to him. Party pateo. Reaching out, wanting to be, and as your pastor, it is so important that I share my heart with you regarding an idea, the heart behind Harvest of helping others. I've done this a few times. Everybody just wiggle your toes. Wiggle them. All whatever, how many toes you got? Because we're going to step on each other's toes here just for a little bit. Guys, as our church continues to grow, we are inviting all. Everybody say all. Listen to what we're saying when we say it out loud. We're inviting all to come in and find Jesus. We are inviting all to come in and worship with us. Listen to this one. We're inviting all to come in and become disciples of Jesus Christ. So here's my thought. We know if we have a man in our church that is a wife beater, we know he is a wife beater. We know he puts his hands on women. He gives his heart to Jesus Christ, radically transforms his life. Where does he go to church? Does he go to the wife beaters church, or does he come to Harvest Assembly? Somebody who used to be a sexual offender, he or she gets radically saved, radically transformed to the inner core of their being. Where do they go to church? Is it to the sexual offender's church, or do they come to Harvest Assembly? The drug addicted, we could have somebody in here right now that is struggling with prescription drugs. We have a woman in our church that has one of the greatest transformation stories coming off of heroin that I have ever heard. Where do they go to church? Do they go to the addict's church, or do they go to Harvest? We walk even closer with Jesus, so that when the lost come looking for hope, we will walk it out with them. We don't send them away. We don't say, that's not the kind of church that we are. I don't want to steal other people from other churches. I want people who will come in here and walk it out with those who are looking for Jesus. That our church will be for all. Everybody say all. For all people. Can we give the Lord a hand of praise for that? Amen. This Easter, I am praying for the prodigals. So we're leading up to Easter. I'm praying for the addicted, the hurting. How about this one? The dirty, the unwanted, to find Jesus, and that we will become so close to Jesus, we'll be able to walk it out with them. Let me say it again to you. Walk even closer. You see, the disciples' calling, as described in early Jewish writings, about basic every part of his word. He followed his rabbi so closely that he would walk in his dust. In doing so, he became like the rabbi, his master. And just like we had been given the opportunity to have the dust of the sandals of Jesus on us spiritually, that those who would come through these doors, those that would be looking for Jesus, would get the same opportunity just to have the dust off the master's feet. That we would operate in the qualities and characters of Jesus. Remember, it's the power of the Holy Spirit, it's boldness, and it's love. That we are, here it's going to come up for you, walking so close to God so we can walk close with them. I want to bring this to a close. The worship team will come on up. I want to read the scripture to you one more time, and I want you to really, really soak it in this time. Luke 24, verse 14 says this, "And as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them." That Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. I just want to say these things and we're going to pray. Jesus loved walking it out with people. Jesus loved walking up to people. Jesus loved leading people. And Jesus just loved people. Can you get an amen for that? Jesus just loved people. Let's bow our heads and let's just close our eyes. Go ahead and start. Jesus, we just thank you, Lord God, for your love. We thank you for your attention to us. We thank you for your goodness in our lives, Father God. And I'm just praying, Lord, that everything that you have said to us today, dear Lord, the scriptures, Father God, the pictures in our minds. Father, maybe for some of us, it's been the reflecting of who Jesus is, the reflecting of what you have done for our lives. That God, I just pray that no matter what we have brought into this place today, Lord, I believe that all of us can walk even closer to you. Father God, I pray that every person that is sitting in this room would have the heart and the mission and God, the vision behind who we are as Harvest, that all people would be welcome here, that all people, we will love them through the dirty times of their lives, dear Lord, as they come to find you as Savior. But Father, I just pray that for us to be able to do that, we've got to have ourselves in check. Father, even this song here, Lord, that he's playing, that God, sometimes there's things that have to break. There's things that sometimes we have to give to you, Father, before we can do this, before we can say yes, before we can actually say all and mean it. So God, this was all over my toes. I know, God, I know what you've done to me and in my heart. And Father, I'm praying that every one of our people here in this church would follow suit, God, that they would find their place. And how can we help others? How can we walk with people? We do it because we can walk, we're walking even closer to you. So Father God, I just lift this up to you, dear Lord, and I say thanks. Thank you for who you are in our lives. Thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for what you're doing right now. With every head bowed and eye closed, if there's any here that would just say, Pastor Matt, I want to walk even closer, Lord, to the Lord. Some of you say, Pastor Matt, I want to walk even closer, but there's just some stuff that I've got to deal with. There's some stuff I've got to be honest about. Some of you might be saying, I've got people in my life, in my circle that I've allowed in that are just tearing me apart. And then there's others of you who are just saying, Pastor Matt, I want to walk closer so that I can help others walk close to him. If you say yes to any one of those three in a place, I'm going to count to three, and without hesitation, I want you to come down and just kneel and find a place to pray. And we're going to join you in prayer. One, two, three. Looking for a closer relationship. Come on down. Yes.
Come on.
Yes.